Today's topic is very exciting. It's exact computation. Of correlation function. From algebra. So remember that last time, we were discussing how to transform our operator language or language of correlation functions or postintegral language into language of Hilbert space and Hermitian or non-Hermitian operators acting on this Hilbert space. So what have we learned? First of all, that we can construct states out of primaries. And yeah, write state phi is equal to phi of 0, 0 acting on a vacuum. And left state phi is equal to limit z z bar going to infinity z to 2h z bar 2h bar times phi z z bar acting on another state like this. So another thing which we learned that operators, it's convenient to expand operators in terms of modes. So if there is primary operator phi of zz bar, everything is consistent if we expand it in terms of z minus n minus h, z bar minus m minus h bar times phi n m. And in this case, Hermitian conjugation on modes would be acting as phi dagger n m equals to phi minus n minus m, which is very convenient. And this expansion in modes, it's similar to expansions which we have in usual, like free boson or free fermion, but you probably you are more used to Minkowski signature. And in Minkowski signature, we have like exponents and plane waves. And in case of conformal theories, it's natural to expand in terms of z and z bar, which are coordinates on a complex plane. And yeah, now, as it's obvious from this formula, like asymptotic state corresponding to t time to minus infinity is like state at zero, and asymptotic state corresponding to time to plus infinity corresponds to plus infinity on a complex plane or on CP1. As you remember, like CP1 is C union with infinity. So it's like convenient to think that we are living on CP1. So that, for example, global conformal transformation are mapping CP1 into itself because infinity is included. Yeah, and to match correlation functions in postintegral, we need radio quantization. Which means that whenever we have correlation function of operators in conformal theory, we assume that operators are ordered from right to left as according to their distance to the origin in on C. And so radial ordering of phi of z, phi of w, like phi 1, phi 2, is equal to phi 1 of z, phi 2 of w, if absolute value of z is greater than absolute value of w, and in the opposite order, phi 2 of w, phi 1 of z, if absolute value of w is greater than absolute value of z. And apparently it's very important, because when we compute commutators in operator formalism, commutator means that we need to put our plug in our operators with different shifts in their radial coordinates. So, for example, it is important when we compute action of generators of symmetries. And last time we discussed conformal symmetry, since this is the main symmetry which we have. But in general, if we have some word identity, let's say d mu j mu x equals to some sum over a delta, this is at point y, y minus xa times e ga acting on x. Where x is some product of operators, string of primary operators, let's say primaries, which doesn't matter much in this case. So we can take integral of both sides of this expression over domain domain of the shape like d to x, and the shape is following. We have like concentric circles, we have origin, so this is zero, and this is some point xa. Why is it domain? Because it will interact non-trivially only with one delta function corresponding to some xa, and on the left hand side we can use Stokes' theorem. So this will give us d n mu times integral j mu of y x equals to e g a times x. And yeah, here, if this is domain, let's say omega, this would be integral over boundary of omega. And now, what is boundary? What's important? That boundary of part of boundary of omega, it goes outside of xa along the radius which is bigger than xa, and part of this boundary goes along radius which is inside of xa, so the radius is smaller. Therefore, because of radial quantization, since we match correlation functions in path integral with correlation functions in operator formalism using radio ordering, we get commutator here. So we can finally write down that under correlation function, we have this equals to this. Where this charge is integral over some radius, basically. Yeah, this is a charge. Yeah, last time, okay, probably I can. Last time we applied this to conformal symmetry. So for the case of conformal symmetry, our charge was integral over dz times epsilon of z t of z, or if we expand this in terms of modes, so remember that t of z is sum over k. In terms of modes, this gives sum over integral z, sum k, lk. So for any numbers epsilon, this will be some symmetry. So we have like infinite dimensional algebra of symmetries. And using a piece, we derived that commutator of ln and lm equals to n minus m ln plus m plus c over 12 n squared minus 1 n delta n plus m 0. Which, as you mentioned last time, this is called Virasoro algebra. And basically, title of today's lecture is Exact Computation of Correlation Functions from Algebra. And we can add from Virasoro algebra. This is algebra which should compute correlation functions for us. So now one more remark. We can actually interpret generators L0 and L0 bar in a useful way. And this way will be very important also in string theory course. So probably Davide will discuss this a lot in his part. So remember that L0 on a classical level, it was corresponding to generator minus z d over dz, and L0 bar, it was corresponding to z bar d over dz bar. Also remember that what is z, if we try to go back to time and coordinate, z is e to 2 pi over l on a cylinder t plus ix, and z bar correspondingly is e to 2 pi over l t minus ix. So yeah, looking at these expressions, it's easy to derive that L0 plus L0 bar is something like derivative over time, and L0 minus L0 bar is something like derivative over the coordinate. So it's very natural now to say that, and in such models where everything can be done explicitly, it's very easy to say that on a quantum level, L0 plus L0 bar is Hamiltonian, and probably like one half, but yeah, up to normalization. And L0 minus L0 bar, and here I would add I, it is momentum, like generators of translations in a direction of time and translations in a direction of like along the cylinder. Okay, any questions on this? Probably something from last time. Okay, then so how symmetry, how does the symmetry act on primary fields? From what I remember last time, I didn't manage to tell this in time. So yeah, but we can basically repeat similar computation to what we had here. So let's compute Ln with phi of z z bar. And yeah, this is exactly the formula which we had there. So this would be like contour integral dz over 2 pi I along, dw along, around point z, using the trick with contours which we discussed last time, that if we have like 0 z, and we have this minus 0 z minus this, this is equal to 0 z this. Yeah, so I used this trick already. So here we have z to power n plus 1, t of, t of w, phi of z. All right. Yeah, now we can use OP. And here we have h phi of z w minus z squared plus d phi of z w minus z. Yeah, and now we can use Cauchy theorem, which immediately gives us h times n plus 1 phi of w plus w n plus 1 d phi of w. Quite a nice expression. Or in terms of modes, This is ln phi m equals to n h plus 1 minus m phi n plus m. Oh, sorry, here I missed w to power of n. Yeah. Oh, and it's not w, it's z. Sorry. Yeah, so notice that operator L, it shifts, basically ln shifts modes by n. So acting on a joint action of ln on phi m shifts index of phi by n. So, what about states? About action of ln on asymptotic states. Yeah, as we discussed last time, we want our asymptotic states to be well defined. So h bar, which is equal to limit z to 0, phi of z, z bar acting on vacuum. Yeah, we can expand this in terms of modes, which would be limit z goes to 0, sum over n, m, z to minus n minus h, z bar minus m minus h bar, phi n m, acting on vacuum. And yeah, this cannot be singular expression. I mean, we want to send z to 0. So if you have any negative powers of z or z bar here, this will just blow up and we cannot get anything reasonable from this. So in order for this to be well defined, we want phi n m acting on vacuum to be 0 if n greater than minus h or m is greater minus h bar. So this is a just sanity requirement for asymptotic states to be well defined. Yeah, and if this is satisfied, then we are good, and this answer would be like phi minus h bar acting on vacuum, because all other modes. So these modes are disappearing because of our requirement of expression not to blow up, and those modes which have positive powers are of z and z bar. They are vanishing because z goes to 0. So basically what's remaining is only one mode here. And now, since we have this, and also we have requirement that t of z on a vacuum is non-singular at z going to 0. This is a condition which can be sometimes lifted, and interesting things happen if we do not impose this requirement. But normally in conformal theory, this is the requirement. And this requirement gives us that ln acting on vacuum should be 0 for n greater or equal than minus 1. Yeah, so just from some sanity conditions, we have lots of information about our asymptotic states. And now now we can say, okay, we have this state h bar, and from these relations we can also deduce that it satisfies L0 h bar equals to h bar L0 bar, because we have another copy of Pierre-Sora as well, equals to h bar on h bar. We also have Ln on h bar is acting by 0 for n greater or equal than 1. And analogously for Ln bar, which is just result of application of this commutator relation. If we were mathematicians, we might immediately say this is called Verma module in mathematics, because we don't have any constraints on negative modes of L. So VHC, it's a space spanned by strings of L's. With negative indices, acting on asymptotic state, and here we have highest weight state, which is annihilated by positive part of our algebra, which is eigenstate for Cartan element, which is L0 and L0 bar. We need some like string, like sorry. We also have like anti-holomorphic part. We have highest weight state, which is eigenstate for Cartan part, which is L0s. It's annihilated by positive part of our algebra. And it's like we are looking for everything which can be just generated by negative string of negative generators, strings of negative generators without any extra constraints. Yeah.
So, like why ln HH is 0 again?
Why this is 0?
Yeah. Because ln first, because I have ln and phi, right, acting on vacuum.
Yeah, so let's try. So we have like ln times phi minus h minus, minus h bar acting on 0, right?
Yes.
Now we can use commutator,
yeah,
which gives us phi minus h bar ln plus... let's see.
Derivative.
N h minus 1. No, we can just use modes. Plus h times phi minus h plus n action on vacuum. Right?
Yes.
And here we have
first one is 0, yes.
Yes, third one is 0 because of this, second one is 0 also because we shifted this mode in a positive direction. And we imposed constraint that phi have to annihilate.
Okay, makes sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question.
Yeah, so both H and H bar is shifted by M, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if you act just by ln, then only h. No, h bar shifted by h bar is.
Ln bar shifted. Okay.
Yeah, we have two non-interacting copies of algebras which are shifting holomorphic and anti-holomorphic indices.
I see. And mu's and lambdas and h's, all of them are integers, right?
H's.
Because
let's say yes. This is the right question. So let's, for simplicity, assume now that here and h and h bar are integers. Yes.
So generally, it needs
they are not necessarily integers. Yeah. And in this case, you need like more complicated vacuums to, and yeah, definitions are a bit more. They're different.
So it's vacuum dependent.
No, it depends on theory. If you have theory with h and h bar, which are non-integer, then yeah, you need to say extra words about your vacuum.
Okay, so it depends on my primary data.
Yeah, on like depending on your theory, your vectors, yeah, it might be different. Sometimes you just start from these vectors. You don't say that you have vacuum like this, okay. But you just start from vectors like this. You say, okay, we have some vectors and we have operators corresponding to these vectors, but they are not defined with this procedure. So this is called Verma module, and this kind of states, they are called descendants. So in mathematical terminology, yeah, descendants, because we get them by descending from the primary state. In mathematical literature, VHC are called Verma modules. In physical, like physicists sometimes call this thing conformal families. So conformal family is a primary operator with the whole bunch of their descendants. I don't know if descendants, the word descendant is related to family, because sometimes in a family you also call your like younger members of family descendants, but I have no idea.
So, to recap, what is the Verma module? My vectors that I can create with the else, right? And so basically there is also like, you mentioned the VHC, so I guess like, primaries and central charge, because I'm needing commutation relations.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Until vector space. And the descendant states. Yeah, it's in one-to-one correspondence between the descendant operators, right?
Yes. We have operator state correspondence. So to each descendant state, we have corresponding operator. Important in general, it's important thing to notice that when we have, in the rest of the lecture, I will be most of time just writing down only holomorphic part, but we can keep in mind that we also have anti-holomorphic part as well. So important formula, quite trivial one, that when we have, yeah, and I will call this kind of states, it's probably not very much visible. I will call them lambda h, because, so this is like a string of l's corresponding to some lambdas acting on primary state h. So important formula is that L0 which is Cartan generator acting on lambda h. It gives us h plus sum over I of lambdas, lambda h. So on a highest weight vector, it acts just by h, and action of any L with negative index shifts eigenvalue by some number. And yeah, this is because we have L0 Ln is equal to minus n times Ln. And also it's good to know that it's non-shiftable. These tuples of integers lambda 1 greater than lambda greater or equals than lambda 2 and so on to lambda n, so these sets are called Jung diagrams. In mathematics. And sometimes it's very convenient to draw them using boxes. So if lambda is just 1, so it's only like lambda 1, which is equal to 1, this can be drawn as one box. If lambda is 1, 1, it can be drawn as a line of two boxes, like this. For example, if lambda is 3, 1, it can be drawn as tower of three boxes and one box on side.
Nico, is it plus there or minus? Because
here?
Yeah.
It's plus. And the reason is that here you have minus, but we have lambda L minus lambda, so this is negative.
Okay.
So we are generating from highest weight vector by negative modes.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, so sometimes this state can be written down like this, which means that this is like L minus 2. L minus 1 acting on H. This is just terminology. And so probably I cannot resist. So how many states? There are in VHC. Obviously, there is infinite number of states, but we have nice grading with respect to L0. So L0 tells us that it's natural to consider states with same values of L0. And apparently for each fixed value, eigenvalue of O0, we have finite number of states. And there is this int which is called character. So it's a trace over this space of Q to L0. So if Q is equal to 1, if I just compute trace of 1, this is infinity. This is something which we cannot compute. But apparently since we grade our space of states by L0. This is some finite function. So this is Q to H, obviously, because this is the value of O0 on a highest weight vector. And then this is a sum of n greater or equals than zero, some number n u to n. And this number n is a number of states which can be made out of n boxes, basically. So for n equals 1, we have only one state with one made out of one box. For n equals 2, we have this state, and we also have this state. So this generating function, it goes as q to h, and here we have like 1 plus q, one state with one box, plus 2q squared, two states with two boxes. So here we compute like l minus 1 squared and l minus 2. Plus, what will be the number here? You don't answer.
6?
No. Too much. I want to write down generating function of a number of states with a, like, which can be made using like finite number of boxes. So since like, or number of states with the same fixed eigenvalue of L0. So for eigenvalue L0 h plus 1, sorry, for eigenvalue just h, we have only one state, which is trivial state. Lambda is empty. For eigenvalue h plus 1, we have one state, which is L minus 1 on h. For eigenvalue h plus 2, we have two states, which are made by L minus 1 squared on h and L minus 2 on h. So
is it just like 3 on the horizontal, 3 on the vertical, and like L? Like 3 plus 1?
Yes, it's 3. Yeah, so as Marco said, this 3 is L minus 3, L minus 2, L minus 1, and L minus 1 cubed. Yeah, and so on. But apparently, this function can be written down explicitly, and if someone is interested, you can try to do this as an exercise. It's not very complicated. So there is like q to the power of h is a prefactor times product n greater than 0, 1 minus 1 over 1 q to power of n. Oops. Okay, so now basically our assumption that Hilbert space or space of operators, which is the same, is H is a sum of some over some H's or some conformal weights of Wehrmann modules. And this is a very powerful assumption, and the only missing ingredient which we need to solve the theory is like general formula for OPEs. So we have some sum here over H3, sum over lambda and mu, obviously, C H1, H2, H3, comma lambda mu, Z minus W, h3 minus h1 minus h2 plus modulo lambda z bar minus w bar h3 bar minus h1 bar minus h2 bar plus modulo mu times L minus lambda, L minus mu, bar phi H3. Oh. Yeah, and this is just a bit refined version of the formula which Jaume written down for us 5 lectures ago. So in 2 dimensions, our algebra of symmetries, it's much bigger. So we have to act by all the generators, negative generators, on the primary fields to get all the descendants. Yeah, so I'm not going to work with the formula in this form to compute correlation function, but apparently this structure, these constants, which are the only missing ingredient to solve this theory. If we know all these constants, we basically know everything about this theory. We can compute any correlation functions. These constants can be computed algorithmically. And basically in a form that C of H1, H2, H3, lambda mu is just three-point functions, H1, H2, and 3, H3, times some betas, which depend on conformal dimensions, but which are universal. Let me call them beta lambda, beta bar mu. So these coefficients, universal functions, universal in a sense that they only depend on Jung diagram lambda and these three numbers, but they are the same functions for any theory. And this is theory dependent constant. Which is basically three-point function. Yeah, it can be computed, I guess, in this form. Yes.
Okay. So just to recap. So for each asymptotic state, I have a Wermo module.
For each primary field, you have Wermo module. Because you have more asymptotic, I mean, this is also asymptotic state, but it's descendant, right?
So, yeah, so what I'm saying is, like, I start from HH bar, and then, like, I build my Wermo module.
Yes, but HH bar is for primary field. So for each primary field, you have HH bar, you have this state,
yeah.
And from this state, you can build the whole Wermo module.
Yes. Okay.
So some here, for example, it goes over all primaries. In theory. So this is also theory dependent. How many primaries do you have?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about it. So like you mentioned, there is something different in this OP, there is something different than about 2D. So which aspect is different?
Than what?
So in this OP, there is something different than the OP in general dimension?
Because you have much more generators. In general dimension, here you act just by derivatives, by momentums.
Yes.
And here you have like infinite number of operators to act with. So in general dimension, like you just act by L minus 1 and L minus 1 bar to some powers, basically.
Yes.
And yeah, in two dimensions, you also have L minus 2, L minus 3, L minus 4, L minus 5, and so on. And therefore, theory dependent data is a set of primaries HH bar central charge C, and sometimes series have different left and right central charge, and 3-point functions. C, H1, H2, H3. And if you know this data, we can just algorithmically compute correlation functions from knowledge of this data. What's the difference, also another difference between two-dimensional series and higher-dimensional series? In two dimensions, sometimes this set is a finite set. So, for example, in a conformal theory corresponding to Ising model, which we will discuss hopefully next week, this set of primary operators, it consists of 6 operators, I guess. And that's it. You only have 6 primaries. And this is something which can never happen in higher dimensions because you don't have enough symmetry. So if you just start from 6 operators and you will just act by 2 derivatives on 6 operators, you will get like some Hilbert space whose size is comparable to size of oscillator, like size of Hilbert space of oscillator. It's like you have rising operator, you have lowering operator, and you have like finite number of highest weight states. In quantum field theory, Hilbert spaces are much bigger. And in two-dimensional CFT, you have like infinite number of generators of symmetry. So acting by these generators on finite set of primaries, you still get huge algebra of operators, which is, the thing.
Nikola, really do not have like good intuition about it. In higher dimensions, mm-hmm. you just act with like L minus 1 and L minus, so with derivatives, basically.
Uh-huh.
And here, we're acting with much more. So like, to me, it's counterintuitive. Why is this more constraining than like just acting with just derivatives?
I can draw a picture for you. Let's imagine that you have some Hilbert space which is huge, right? And you want to cover it with some subspaces generated by symmetry. Yeah. So you start from one vector, and you consider everything which can you get using symmetry starting from one vector. And if your symmetry, imagine that like our Hilbert space is a square, and we want to cover square, we pick a point, and then our symmetry tells us, if it's symmetry small, it tells us we can only draw line which goes through this point, right? This is like higher dimensional case where symmetry is small. So we have to pick many points, 1 point, 2 point, 3, 4, 5, 6, to cover the whole plane. We need many points. But if symmetry is big, assume, like, let's say that symmetry allows us to cover the whole corner starting from point. So if symmetry is big, we need only 1, 2, 3, 4. We need only 4 points to cover the whole space. So if symmetry is, I want to say that the whole space can be covered starting from like small number of vectors and action of symmetry, if symmetry is big.
Yeah, that's fine, but from that formula, what you will do to that formula? You will apply...
To this formula?
Yes.
I mean, I can compute correlation function. If I know this constant C here, I can just, okay, I want to compute 4-point function. I will not compute it today because it's too late, but let's say I have fh1, phi h2, phi h3, and phi h4. Now I can just compute OP of these two fields, which gives me sum, just pictorially. It's h1, h2, h, and also some descendants, lambda. And here I will have like L minus lambda acting on some h, phi h, and two more fields, phi h3, phi h4, right? And this is 3-point function. We know how to compute 3-point functions, even with descendants. So this will give me sum CH1, H2, H lambda. And yeah, the answer will be like CH3, H4, H, some other Jung diagram mu. And yeah, times some function, which is called, yeah, times some function, which is universal and depends only on Virasoro algebra. But we will discuss this more next time. Yes.
So if I have a higher dimensional TD, which is free, is there, can I then cover my space with finite limit primaries? Or,
so if you have a free theory in higher dimension, free theories, they are weird in a sense that there are lots of peculiar symmetries which are not present in interacting theories. And if you will take into account all those infinite family of extra symmetries which you have, yes, you can construct Hilbert space using these symmetries. But for interacting conformal series in higher dimensions, you don't have so many symmetries to deal with. And this is specific for two dimensions.
In that formula, in higher dimensions, I know three-point function in any dimension, right?
In higher dimensions, sum here would be much higher, much bigger. This is the difference.
That's what I was asking. So yes. That sum is different. Okay.
Yes, and that's what I tried to illustrate here, that in higher, if you have small symmetry, then you need many primaries from which you start, and with your symmetry you can cover part of your Hilbert space. But if your symmetry is big, you only need like finite number of primaries.
Okay. So here I only like sum over primaries, and in the higher dimensions?
You also sum over primaries, but you have much more primaries.
Oh, okay.
You have like, there is no way to have higher dimensional conformal theory with finite number of primary fields.
Okay, so like this enlarged symmetry restricts how many primaries you have.
It's not like it restricts, but if you take physical theory and you ask how many primaries you have, it's possible in two dimensions to have finite family of primaries. In higher dimensions, it's impossible. You always have infinite family of primaries. Yeah, I think I have to end at this point, and sorry, conformal blocks will be next time. But next time, so tomorrow there will be tutorial. Tomorrow there will be a tutorial which is new in the schedule. The schedule was modified. It will be at 9 in the morning tomorrow. And it will be short. It will be 1 hour long. And we will compute this kind of things in the tutorial. Yes.
So when we call asymptotic states, can I actually compute something like DS matrix in a CFT? Because I'm not naively thinking that it should be like identity or something like DS matrix. That it should be trivial.
What do you mean by S matrix? That's the thing.
Yeah, like,
to define S matrix, normally you need massive states, right?
I need what?
Massive states.
Massive states.
Yes, yeah. You need particles with masses, and in CFT you don't have massive particles.
Yeah, so I just call it asymptotic state just because it lives at infinite time. But it's not like something I can actually scatter.
Overlap
in and out, I just get like one, right? So it's kind of like, would it be like a trivial estimate?
I think if you try to compute usual S-matrix, it would be trivial in the sense that there are no massive states. And this is more like spherical harmonics. It's like scattering of massless particles, which are spherical harmonics.
spherical harmonics.
The spherical harmonics is because they live in the circle?
Yes, partially, yes. So you have like, yeah, you have like waves which are going like inside and then interact with some operators, and there are some other waves going outside. But it's not a matrix in a sense of QFT.
Okay.